Thank you for joining a new podcast series from ILTA Radio entitled Work From Home. This series takes a look at many different facets of the organizational, technical, and human sides of the remote work experience. Join us as we find new, interesting, and innovative ways to keep productivity and morale up.
Welcome back, ILTAns, to Remote Work From Home podcast number 3. My name is Beth Ann Stubbe, and I'm the Director of Publications and Press for ILTA. I'm joined today by Danny Zambito, Executive Vice President of Global Legal Technologies at KL Discovery. Danny, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here, Beth Ann.
Can you talk to me a little bit about your eDiscovery background? And then really, what are you doing working remotely right now? How is that going?
Sure. So, for starters, I think it's safe to say I got into eDiscovery pretty much the same way everyone else did, and that was on accident. So I started my career in eDiscovery in 2002 at KLD CEO's first company, On-Site Sourcing. Back then, we were one of the largest copy and scan shops on the East Coast. And when I started there, I was an entry-level biller. I spent most of my days just plugging away in Excel with headphones on. Not too long after joining, I started working with our internal customer service teams, so just the logistics of coordinating jobs in and out of the shop. And it was about a year or so in that my career really took off. We got this huge scanning job. It was hundreds of boxes every day, box truck rolling up to our loading dock, more boxes than we knew what to do with. And I pretty much got a battlefield promotion walking through the office from the break room back to my desk to become the project manager for that project. And I was tasked with really managing the coordination and logistics of all those boxes. Pretty much from that point, I never looked back from project management. I eventually started managing e-discovery cases at OnSite. Before I left, I was their director of project management. And then in 2008, I joined Chris Weiler, KLD's CEO, at what was then L Discovery. Again, he started OnSite. He sold that in 2004 and then started L Discovery 2005. I joined LD August of 2008. I was the very, very first project manager L Discovery ever hired. And, you know, at that time, LD, we were a small group. Most of us shared cubicles. You know, we were a family. We were very much the little guy, David going up against Goliath, but we were a team and we built a great company brick by brick. And, you know, look at us now. We're one of the largest in the world at what we do with 1,200 teammates worldwide.
That's an incredible amount of people to really manage on a global perspective. You guys have 43 offices in 20 countries.
That's
Can you
correct.
Talk to me a little bit about, you know, what's happening right now? The basics, you know, where are you guys physically located? 95% of the time, a lot of those people are remote. That's got to be a little challenging, you know, considering the COVID work from home and kind of mandated quarantines.
It is. Now, luckily, a good chunk of our business was very well used to working remotely. So I think of our project managers, sales staff, consultants. We have a lot of people who just naturally work remotely. So that made the transition a little easier. I think for those folks, it's just some of the personal anxieties of, you know, knowing what's going on in society and the world as a whole. You know, I do feel like we were very well prepared. We started meeting on our COVID response several weeks ago. Transitioning work groups that didn't work from home. We already started the soft transition to get people working from home before the avalanche hit. You know, I think for our business, probably the three number one areas that we have felt the most disruption, that we've had to do the most work to work around, has been on our collections team, on our data recovery business, and as well as our document review. For document review, we've been transitioning to having reviewers work securely from home. We're actually at a point now where all but one or two reviews have transitioned fully to remote review, and that's been very, very seamless for us. And then as far as collections go, we issued a press release the other day about this, but this was great, I think, for the eDiscovery community as a whole. You know, the CEO of Consilio, Andy McDonald, and our CEO, Chris Weiler, worked together to basically forge a partnership to pool our collection resources together worldwide. So if we have a job coming where there has to be a collection in a geography that we don't serve ourselves, we have a direct line to the other company. And if they or we have a resource there that can do that collection without having to send someone in the field or put someone on a plane or a train, we're doing that for each other so we can better serve the community and our clients. That was a really, really good olive branch that we had extended. And then certainly on our data recovery business, where we do everything from enterprise-wide recoveries to, you know, someone dropped their phone in the toilet and they need to get their pictures off of it. That's been a little bit more challenging, but we have duty rotation set up at all of our media receipt centers. So if there is a recovery to be done, we can still accept the media. We have very safe and clean offices. People distance out in cubicles. And then once we get that media in office, all the technicians that have to work, they're all remote anyway. So that's pretty much a non-factor once we get that media in the door. I also, don't forget, you asked me about my specific setup. I've got a setup very similar that I have when I'm physically at the office. So I have my dual monitors, a docking station, my Bluetooth headset. So pretty much I can operate here at home with the exact same amount of effectiveness that I can at the office. I will say the one thing that I'm missing, and it's driving me crazy, is I have a cartoonishly large whiteboard in my office that I don't have at home. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to go out to Staples or Office Depot and pick one up, because I live and die by my whiteboard.
I scribbled on our sliding glass door with dry erase markers the other day. So I do very much feel you on the kind of must make do with what you have.
I applaud that creativity.
My general kind of questions have always been about standard tech setups. How do you guys handle this for your employees? Do you have ergonomic issues for people to help remedy, you know, being from home? Is this something that has to adapt for COVID? And really, who pays through all of this? Because I think this is something our small firms really do wonder.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So, you know, all of our employees, whether they're remote or not, you get two monitors, docking station. A lot of folks who have to collaborate with teammates get webcams as well and IP phones. So for our employees that were working remotely naturally, they've already had their setup at phone, and it's the exact at home. It's the exact same equipment that we have in the office. For people who typically reported to an office, we just had them bring their equipment home, and we've, you know, have some controls in place to inventory what has or has not left the office. But, you know, everyone who has to work from home, nobody's working purely off of a small 15-inch laptop screen. Everyone's got big, bright IMAX monitors, a docking station. For those who did not bring their IP phones home, we have the soft phones on our laptops, so I can make phone calls to and from my computer at the exact same landline that I'd have at the office. If customers or colleagues call me here, and same goes for all of our workers, you know, we can accept and receive calls. And to someone on the other end of the line, you have no idea if they're physically sitting in the office or if they're sitting, you know, in their home office. You know, so that's been pretty effective, I think, for us, just sticking to what we always do, but adapting it, you know, for those who typically aren't working from home. And it's been pretty effective for us. To your point about ergonomic or accommodations, you know, that's played on a case-by-case basis. So we definitely have a mix of people, you know, with standing desks. Some of them are for preference. Some of them are for legitimate accessibility or medical reasons. When there has been a, you know, documented medical reason why someone needs a specific chair or desk, you know, our company has covered that. If it's someone who prefers to stand or prefers to use a certain type of chair at the office, you know, we provide very good facilities and very good furniture. If someone wants to bring in their own chair or bring in their own desk, they're certainly welcome to do that. And the same goes for home, you know, especially when we recruit new employees coming into the company, you know, their home environment, we'll talk to them during the interviews about what their home environment looks like and what their home office, you know, do they have a room and a place that they can quote unquote commute to, or are they just setting up shop at the kitchen table? But, you know, generally, if we're going to hire someone to the company who works from home, you know, they're going to provide their own desk, they're going to provide their own chair. And then, again, if there are specific circumstances mid-employment where it makes sense for KLD to sponsor, you know, certain equipment or facilities for the, you know, that employee, we'll absolutely evaluate, you know, do what we have to do to take care of our people.
You guys sound like you're incredibly cohesive. Are most of your employees exempt or non-exempt? And how do you handle that? Do you have people in general time sharing, or do they clock in, clock out? How does that work?
Sure. We have a blend. I think we probably have more exempt than non-exempt, but it is definitely a blend. Non-exempt people do clock in and out via our online systems. And we set up schedules that vary based on the role and job function. So for example, project managers who probably have the most fluid and demanding schedule, none of them follow a strict 9-to-5. You know, they work around the schedules of their clients and projects. Technical support analysts, billers, or other jobs that might be largely be the non-exempt categories pretty much account job roles where there's not a direct personal accountability for a matter, they tend to work more on a structured schedule. And really, aside from just making sure fundamental boxes are checked off, such as adequate coverage, redundancy of staffing, et cetera, you know, wherever possible, we place far greater focus on results than, you know, making sure a PM or someone is online exactly at 9 o'clock and they're never off exactly before five. Like, as long as the work's getting done or customers are being taken care of, we have adequate coverage, we're being responsive to customers, both internal and external. If we focus on those, everything else pretty much falls in place. And it's been a pretty successful and effective for us thus far.
It's an incredible idea to give people the tools to manage themselves. Let's talk a little bit about productivity. What are some of your best tips and tricks to manage expectations? Is remote work really one of those, you know, productivity tools that you think works best? And how do you handle your own productivity?
Sure. So a great principle I've learned from our CEO, which we lovingly call the Weiler Rules, called trust and verify. You should trust that your people are going to get their work done, and you need to put appropriate controls in place to verify that they are. If you neglect one or the other too much, it'll definitely cause problems. So for example, you always have to check productivity, but if you're too rigid, people are going to feel that you don't trust them, and then in turn, they're not going to trust you. And that's not good. You pretty much have to balance it out, and every employee has their own unique personality and style that you have to account for. But as long as you trust people to do them and you have the right controls in place to verify, you know, generally you're going to be just fine. As far as communicating expectations, really it's the same whether you're remote or in office. We hold everyone to the same standards regardless of where they work. And the only thing that's different, and really this only applies to new employees or existing employees who are new to working remotely, is being very candid about what it means to work from home. And what I mean by that is being clear that nothing changes based on their working environment. We still have the same level of expectations for them, whether they're logging in from a home office or they're logging in from our headquarters. We're also going to trust them to be professional and dutiful, and we expect them to honor that. And really what I've found is that if you have good hiring practices and good selection criteria that all your hiring managers are aligned behind, and you run a solid organization with a strong culture, that can't be understated, the culture part. The risk of someone trying to game the system is dramatically reduced. So at KLD, for example, we've been very progressive about working remotely. And this goes back to the early days of the company back in 2008. When I started, you know, at any point in time, we were a small group, but you could have find, you know, a quarter of us could have been working from home. I mean, sometimes it was just as simple as the phone calls or emails started coming in as soon as I got out of the shower. And, you know, before I look, it's, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon and I haven't gotten off my laptop. So we've been very progressive about that. And I think in the 12 years I've been with this company, I can think of exactly one scenario where I felt like there was an employee who was taking advantage of the flexibility and the freedom afforded to them. In that scenario, we did act very, very quickly and appropriately. I think that's important. If someone doesn't meet your expectations, you have to address it head on. You can't run from it. But hire good staff, trust them to do their job without management needing to lurk over their shoulders, and have good controls in place. It's a really good formula for success. A great analogy or way to look at it is give people their dance floor. As long as you set the boundaries, the four boundaries that they need to operate in, and you give them some freedom to operate on that dance floor, you would be surprised at how successful you can be giving the right amount of autonomy.
One of the things I think that you've said that has been the most strong is hiring good people and affording them the opportunity to work in an environment that begets good work and helps our clients. What would you tell a client who's not really been in this situation before? Because I don't think any of us really have. What would you tell them to help them make that transition from being all in the same room to having that dispersed workforce?
I think that, you know, it's important to, you know, define a room. Right. And so for with really the appropriate guidance, putting people in a room and a whiteboard can be very productive. But, you know, using simple tools like SharePoint and Teams, you can very, very easily have that same amount of productivity as if they were, you know, not working together in the same physical location. I think what you do is, you know, you focus more on the how, in my opinion, and that's usually the least important. When you focus more on the why and the what, you can actually find yourself be very, very productive. what I mean by that is your organization culture is going to dictate far more about how productive people can be and where they can work or what tools than what tools they physically have in person. So for example, if your culture fosters creativity, vigilance, and teamwork, communication, the how, you know, like how people are working really doesn't matter as much because you've got them all aligned behind the same principles, creativity, productivity, communication, they're going to find a way. And then likewise, if you have a culture that stifles creativity and really only promotes change from the top, it really doesn't matter if where people are, you know, how they work or how big their whiteboard is. And this is speaking from someone who likes a big whiteboard. They're not going to be nearly as motivated to give people to do a good job or to be creative or to really produce what they could. You have to really genuinely encourage creativity and actually act on it when you get good ideas. And if you do that, what's amazing is you go from one or two people, you know, really at the top of the organization driving innovations to hundreds of people throughout the entire organization, and engagement just goes through the roof. Now you have to be careful that people don't go rabbit holes. It's people can wander down the wrong path, and it's okay to wander a little bit. I always tell people that collaboration is a safe place. You know, I don't care how many bad ideas you give me, as long as you give me a couple of good ones, I'm only going to care about the good ones. But you have to act on and operationalize them. But you know, as long as you keep people centered through a culture and a great culture and a common purpose, people really aren't going to go off track, and you'll find that you can get the same level of productivity and creativity whether people are working remotely or they're all together in the same room.
And I think that that's it. We've got to be together in that same boat. As we wrap this up, Danny, can you tell me just a couple quick tips and tricks that you would use for those of us who are doing rapid and really unplanned moves to managing remote workers due to this COVID virus?
You know, I think for starters, you know, it's true for anyone regardless of where they work, but, you know, it really seems to be more magnified, you know, when people are remote and isolated. And that is, everyone is a VIP or a very individual person. Nobody wants to be a number, and, you know, everybody really has a unique situation and personality. Giving people personal attention wherever you can and being flexible to people's work and personal lives as much as possible, especially knowing how invasive working in this industry can be, you know, and not underestimating the value of FaceTime. This COVID situation aside, it's important to plan time for your remote employees to meet face-to-face. Using company events, trainings are really good reasons to get people together in the same room. If you have clusters of remote employees in a particular geography, you can coordinate lunches, dinners, happy hours, etc. You know, you can have remote employees cycle through office with some regularity. Like, whatever you do, it's just really important that you keep the machine going and you keep people moving and being happy. And then I would say, in the short term, while we are in the middle of this COVID situation, you know, just try to virtualize as much as you can and promote good habits for your remote employees. For example, having them establish a routine. Just because they're not commuting to the office doesn't mean they shouldn't have a morning routine. Like I said a few minutes ago, it's really easy to get out of bed, look at your phone, throw up the laptop, and before you know it, you've gone half your day and you haven't even brushed your teeth. Like, that is not healthy. You need to get up, work out, exercise, eat breakfast, read the news. Whatever you do, you would normally do for your workday, replicate it at home, but get yourself into a routine. Make sure you get yourself dressed. I tell it to all my people, like, it's okay to have a pajama day every once in a while, but, and you don't necessarily have to be in a three-piece suit, but, you know, get up and get yourself dressed. Like, it creates a psychological difference that you are up, you're dressed, you have your real big boy or big girl clothes on, and you're sitting in front of your computer ready to conduct business. You know, like the old saying goes, if you look good, you feel good. Stay active, encourage your employees to get up and move around. So me, for example, I'm a pacer. So if I'm on a conference call, except for right now, I'm usually walking around my office. And that's one way that I keep myself from staying sedentary for too long. So whatever you have to do, and it's easier when you're physically at an office to be mobile and active versus at home, but let yourself get up, move around. It's okay to take a 5 or 10 minute walk in the middle of the day. If you have a dog, it's a great excuse to get out and walk, but just keep yourself moving. Give yourself a workspace. I mentioned that a little earlier on, but you know, you should, to the extent that you can, have a separate place that separates, you know, personal life from work life, and it gives you somewhere to commute to. And I think, you know, two other points that are super, super important: establish boundaries. This is a very high touch point, 24/7 business, and minutes feel like hours when you've got someone, you know, looming over your shoulder with something that they need for you. And you know, you have to set boundaries. And it doesn't mean, you know, absent extenuating circumstances, like, you know, where, you know, you're in the middle of a huge production that has to get out the door right now. You know, it's okay to put your phone down for 20 minutes and eat dinner with your family. It's okay to give your kid a bath or tuck them in or read them a book. Like, you can give yourself those sacred times throughout the day to focus on yourself or focus on your family, and then get right back to business, pick up your email, get on your laptop, and then take care of what needs to be done. And it can be overwhelming if you don't manage it, but if you are diligent and you manage it, you can still have a very, very productive personal life and a productive work life. And I think above all else, this is super important, is focus on flow versus balance. I read about this concept years ago, and it really changed my life and the way I looked at things. You know, when you think about balance, it indicates equality, and that's just in this business, it's never going to be achievable. But if you strive for flow, which simply means that there'll be a natural give and take, it becomes so much easier. And this is what I tell to every prospective employee coming in, or even existing people that are struggling a little bit. You know, there's going to be times where the company or your customers are going to need you to sacrifice your time. And we have to count on you to come through in those moments when we need you. And likewise, like, there's going to be times where you got to focus on yourself or your family. And that's okay too. We want you to have a life outside of work. So if, you know, for example, you've got a kid and you got to go to a dance recital, just work with your teammates and your manager. You know, you can clock out a little bit early and go take care of your family. It's fine. We've got you covered. We got your back. And, you know, likewise, if I have to call you at 8 o'clock on a Friday and I need you to log into your laptop to check something or respond to a client, you know, I'm gonna ask what I believe needs to be done in the best interest of our company and our customers. But if we trust each other that we're always doing everything in our best interest, and there's that give and take, the flow becomes much easier to manage, and you find yourself being able to get into a good rhythm where you don't feel like you're working, doing nothing but working 24 hours a day. And likewise, you don't feel like you're slacking if you have to go to the grocery store or you have to go take care of your family in the middle of the workday.
I think you're right. I think it's all about that balance and finding what works for each team and what works really for each firm or company. Danny, thank you so much for joining us. This has been exceptionally helpful, and we're really looking forward to the blog that will come out along with this podcast.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. It's great talking to you guys today.
Thank you so much. And we will be back next week with another Work From Home podcast.